to have an S on your chest. But you darn sure got to be able to represent that T on your helmet.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Monday, November 23rd. It is another Monday morning, the beginning of a week here on the Blitz, the beginning of a big week here for you, as well as us, and hopefully everybody else. Hey, enjoy this short week ahead. Thanksgiving week is upon us, so what does that mean? That typically means family and football. I don't know about you guys, but at least in my house, that's kind of what it means. So excited about Thanksgiving coming up later in the week. But before we get into anywhere there, gentlemen, we got a Monday morning show here. And I don't really know which way it's going to go. I got to tell you. I mean, obviously, I think it's going to go kind of go in this in a similar direction to where all the conversation has been going yesterday. But once again, we have another Tennessee football game to break down as Tennessee moves to 2-5 on the season so far. But before we get into any of that, because, oh boy, that's a story. Got to get these guys introduced in the room. Let's see how the weekends were across the table. My name is Rick Butler. Joined to my left, that is Brandon Orrick. Joined to my right, that is Charlie Collier. And back behind the booth, the one and only Chance Collins is in the house, too. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Happy Thanksgiving week. How are y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good, Rick, I guess. As well as can be expected after
a
game like that.
We'll get into it, but I'm right there with you, my man. I am. What about you guys? How y'all doing today?
I can't complain. Feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Charlie, how you doing?
I'm feeling amazing, Rick.
Good. Wow.
Amazing.
Okay.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
One of us needed to be, so Charlie is your pick for the day. You know, we had that Tennessee football game, and we'll get into that, but hopefully the rest of your weekends were fun. I know that I can speak for Charlie and Brandon both. We had a great Thanksgiving meal over the weekend, right before the Tennessee game. That was a pleasure. Chance, I did something, or I guess we did something, our house, for the Thanksgiving meal. We did something we've never done before in preparation for this meal.
Clogged the sink.
What did you do?
That happened. Obviously, when you're talking about a Thanksgiving dinner or lunch or whatever it is, no matter who you're with, it can be your family, it can be your friends, doesn't matter. The key component is the turkey.
You guys didn't have a turkey or you didn't burn it?
No, neither. Neither.
Amazing.
It was a delicious turkey. But it was the means of acquiring the turkey that was strange. Chance, have you ever gone into a Popeye's drive-thru? Have you ever said to the machine at the Popeye's drive-thru, "Hello, yes, I'd like one turkey."
And then they did your fried turkey.
And then about 2 or 3 minutes later, no answer. Just, "Can I have a turkey?" 2 or 3 minutes later, they come back. "Yep, we got you a turkey right here." Pulled around, but just through the big old drive-thru window, just hauling this turkey through the Popeye's window.
Yeah.
And it was a delicious turkey.
Deep fried, huh?
What would you say, Brandon?
No, it wasn't deep fried.
No.
It wasn't a fried turkey?
No, it's just regular turkey.
Yeah.
You still had it cooked, right?
Just put it in the oven.
I know that, seasoned it up. I know
that
they, and then like Bojangles, not to give them any free pub over here, but if you want a fried turkey from Bojangles, you can get one. You just have to make your reservation not the day before Thanksgiving, a little bit days in advance, and they do them.
Well, we also learned that you can get the frozen kind from the drive-thru window as well.
Yeah, it still like had to be fully cooked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Definitely.
So it wasn't cooked?
No.
Just throwing a bird through a window.
Can I ask you,
yeah,
how much did it cost?
Oh, man. I did not pay for it.
I didn't purchase the bird.
But
at least $40.
Man, I would
think Miles said 43.
Yeah, I would have to. Right, so I would have to go in that range.
Next time, a little tippy tip.
Okay.
If you guys, because I thought you were getting it already prepared from Popeyes.
Oh, no, we made that son of a gun.
Go to the grocery store and get it much cheaper, and it's probably the same turkey or if not bigger, especially if it's not going to be cooked. There's a little tip. I know you guys new to the cooking Thanksgiving meals game.
Well, that's at least for me, like that's kind of the fun of it now.
I know you guys didn't pay for it, but I'm just saying.
That's kind of the fun of it now because, you know, once you get one or two under your belt, you're like, okay, well, now I can kind of branch out. Now I want to see, you know, where I can get all the best of the best.
You guys will get
the turkey.
You get there.
So we had a fun little weekend there. A little Thanksgiving meal as a appetizer to
this week.
Did Charlie
behave himself?
For the
most
part.
Charlie behaving. Yeah, you know, I would say he was. Okay. He did. He was on his best behavior.
Oh, you know,
for the most part.
Cody was there, so that means I'm automatically not the least well-behaved. But the food was fantastic.
Oh, there was a McClure sighting.
The food was really amazing.
There was.
Did the bear know McClure was in town? He does now.
I believe he did.
Well, I think so. But I don't know myself. I don't know for certain. But no, either way, all I know is that the Thanksgiving meal on Saturday helped prepare us for what would eventually come on Saturday night, which was nowhere near as good as our Thanksgiving dinner was, let me tell you. So the game happens. Saturday Night Football. Auburn wins the game 30 by a score of 30-17.
Oh, that game.
Yeah, that game. Yeah. And, you know, one kind of thought kept coming to my mind the entire game.
That we suck?
Boy, certainly. But it was this idea of too little too late. And, you know, towards the end of the game, I started to realize that I wasn't just talking about the team. I was also starting to talk about my own viewing mentality. Too little, too late there at the end of the game. But, man, I'm just watching this team. And, you know, 13-point deficit, 13-point loss, I kind of think that's a respectable margin. That is significantly a better margin than I predicted them. You know, 17 points is something to put up on the board. But at the end of the day, man, it didn't matter. Because it never really felt like Tennessee had a chance to win that game. You can see this coaching staff make these small adjustments, but again, it kind of come back. It comes back to the point: too little, too late. It is. I'm losing interest so rapidly. I'm losing faith in this team. Not that there is already much there in the first place, but it's just it's this theory of too little, too late. That unless they're going to make the big sweeping changes for these last final games of the year.
What changes? Big sweeping changes how? What changes can they make?
I think you can take your starting quarterback out of the game.
Does it matter at this point? Does it really matter at this point?
Does it matter for what?
You tell me.
The season, no. But the future, look, and I'm
future?
With you. I'm with you. I don't care about the future right now. I certainly couldn't care about 2021. But at the very least, if you're going to try something, wouldn't you think that has to be your step? It is too little, too late. These adjustments that we're making, they're far too little. And anything that we're doing now is coming far too late. And I can imagine that, much like myself, I imagine you guys might be in the same boat. I imagine people listening out there might be in the same boat. At the end of the game, my viewing turned into too little late in the game. It's just, it's uninteresting.
I don't know. You just have a coach that's too stubborn to realize what's going on, and
I think refuses he just doesn't care.
I mean, I think he cares. I mean, it's
well, he cares about winning. Yes, he's a coach, but he doesn't care what you think or what I think or what or any scrutiny.
Well, should he care though? He doesn't have time to care about what the fans think.
I don't think that necessarily that he should care, but I'm just putting out there that he doesn't. And not caring what your fans think or your base will eventually get you fired. It doesn't mean that they should.
Case, I think I would say almost every coach doesn't care what the fans think. They care about their football players, their football program.
Well, not even faking it like you care what the fans think.
I think
you can fake it till you make it.
I think to a degree, and we're going to talk about everything Jeremy Pruitt said after the game on Saturday, because ultimately, I mean, Brandon and I were talking this morning before the show. To us, like that's where our talking points are coming out of for today, kind of what he said after the game. Because, look, we're not counting wins and losses for the season win-loss record. We are so far past that. But he did have that one quote that stuck out to a lot of people on his message to fans who are downing the direction of the program. And I guess that's just where we'll start here in this first segment. He said, quote, "That ain't my job, guys. My job is to coach. If you want to ask me a football question, then ask me a football question." And I fully realize that the coach's job is not to appease the fans. It's not even to, even in the slightest. Jeremy Pruitt is not concerned what's being said on Twitter. Jeremy Pruitt is not concerned with the rumors that are going around. But I do think that there is this sense of tone deafness. You have a fan base that is starving for wins. You have a fan base that has been through this before. You have a fan base who have seen the writing on the wall. Is Jeremy Pruitt supposed to come out in the press conference after the game and say, "Hey, I need to make a message to the fans"? No, I don't expect that at all. But it is so tone deaf when the fans are, in a big way, a big support system for you. And for you to just turn your back and say, you know, "It is not my job to worry about the fans whatsoever." You know, maybe it should be. Maybe it should be. Maybe he should be trying just a hair. And look, I'm not even saying he has to step out of his way. Just don't make comments like this. Just don't make comments like this that's saying, "That ain't my job, guys. My job is to coach." Well, also, if your only job is to coach, how's that going out for you right now? You apparently don't care about us, the fans, because you're so dialed in coaching. But how's that working out for you? I think there is this high level of tone deafness when you just say, "You know what, I know the fans hate me, so they are not my problem." I cannot stand that. Again, I don't even expect him to say anything good about the fans. But that is not what you say to this fan base who is about to just completely put a pitchfork in you. You have to be concerned with the fans at least a little bit. They are a massive direction, a massive tone setter for your school, for your program, for your university. You have to care about them at least a little bit. Not just to say, you know, "I know that you guys don't like me right now, so you guys, not my problem. I'm a coach." And then at the very least, let's coach a little bit better than Jeremy. Let's coach a little bit better if you hate us so much, if you just do not care about us. Then how about you coach a little bit better?
I just feel like the whole thing is blown out of proportion. I mean, it's not like he came out and said, "Oh, the fans, I don't care about the fans. Who cares what they have to say?" He was asked about it, and he just said that it ain't my job.
I don't even think that's the biggest indictment that I would say from his comments. The biggest indictment is him throwing people under the bus.
It was, quote, just, "That's not my job, guys. My job is to coach football."
Okay.
I think that's a very fair answer. That's just, it's not my job. I mean, what do you want me to say about the fans? I don't know what to say. That's not my job. Ask somebody else. I'm just worried about football. Especially after a loss.
I think the great coaches want their fans to be happy.
What do you want him to say? What would you prefer him to say?
If
he came out and said,
"Sure.
We're working for the future."
No, I want him to come out and say this isn't acceptable. I want him to be accountable. Let's not be stupid and act like he's not being accountable, because he's not.
Yeah.
He's not being accountable. He's acting like things are okay.
We're not saying anything about accountability.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Charlie. I'm saying, like, I want him to say, Like, yes, this is not the way Tennessee football should be played. This is embarrassing. I want him to be accountable. I don't want him to divide his locker room, which it seems what he's doing, by throwing different position groups under the bus. I don't want him to come out and give me some song and dance and tell me that he's sorry and give me some coach speak, but I do want him to be accountable. I do what Rick said. Tone deaf is the best way to explain it. I want him to act like he knows that this is a bad season. I want him to act like he knows that the fans are starving for a change. I want him to act like he knows that they were supposed to be so much better this year.
Thank you.
That's what I want.
1,000%
I don't want him to come out and dance around it and or him to come out and pacify me. I know he's a coach. He's going to be smarter than me at football. He's seen way more football than I'll ever know. He knows way more about coaching than I'll ever know. I want him to be accountable. That's what I want.
I'm with you. And look, do I have a great answer for that? No, but if somebody's asking, if I'm standing in his shoes and somebody asks me, hey, do you have any kind of message to the fans who are doubting the program? I'd say, man, to all the fans who are doubting the program, like I see where you're coming from. Look,
I doubt us too right now.
We are just as unhappy as you are.
Make a lighthearted situation.
We want Tennessee to be great. We are doing this because we know we want you to be great. We all want this to be in this together. And Chance is right. There's been no acknowledgement that there's been disappointment this year, and I do think that that's a part of it. To be able to at least say, you know, hey guys, I know that everyone's disappointed right now. We are too. I know that you guys are hungry. We are too, and we're working. I promise you. I know you know it might not always look like
this.
It
is not where
it
we thought we were going to be believable. This year.
This is not where we're going to be. That ain't my job. My job's to coach. Well, you suck at that job.
I do believe him though. I believe him when he says it's not, it's not my job. I mean, I this is coming from a man who didn't know what asparagus was. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what we think. He is 100, you're right. I mean, he's not doing a very good job, obviously. But I do think he doesn't care.
You know what, though?
He doesn't care what the fans think. Good. He doesn't care what we're saying right now on the radio. He doesn't care what anybody writes in the News
job.
Sentinel.
But this is our job.
He's focused on coaching this football team. And however you feel he's doing, however good of a job you feel like he's doing.
That's
what he's doing.
He doesn't care about the fans. I think a coach that cares about the fans is probably not a good coach. Guess who cared about the fans? Butch Jones cared about the fans. Let me do my advertisement, stacking bricks, and sell you a T-shirt.
But don't you think there's a happy medium? Like, don't you think there's at least a...
Nick Saban doesn't care about the fans. That sounds
Nick
like
Saban
a directly...
Nick Saban can do whatever he wants on the earth because he's a winner. We don't have those. We don't have those. All I'm saying is that I think it's a horrible idea when you're sitting here 2-5 in the worst stretch of games that Tennessee has ever had in its existence.
History.
For you to not even acknowledge the fact that, hey, there is disappointment in the air, and if he is asked directly about the fans, if there's no sense of acknowledgement that, hey, I see that the fans are struggling. You know, we are too. That's a big red flag. Not that there hasn't been already.
Yeah.
Huge red
Charlie
flag.
Brandon,
tone deaf.
Charlie and Brandon definitely right. Yeah, you don't want your coach to be reading the headlines and, you know, coaching to each week to think
that
about
what's...
That
feels like a Mike Leach thing.
Yes.
He's not working out.
You don't want that to be. But being accountable, also being aware of the situation. And another thing, I don't want my coach to sound like he's checked out. He sounds like he's checked out, man.
This whole team's checked out.
Yeah, but like you don't want the coach to be like that. It's one thing if the players have checked out because they're losing, but you can't have your damn head coach check out.
Where does he sound like he's checked out?
His comments. Like, just like his body language in the press conference, just the things that he says. Like, if I'm going to take away anything from his comments, also think that as a coach that sounds like he's checked out.
Guys, we're going to keep breaking down these comments because ultimately we only got to one just then. So if that's the route that things are going today, it's going to be a packed day today. And things are going to be on the next level. We'll keep talking about some of these post-game comments. Excuse me, can't talk on a Monday. Hear from Jeremy Pruitt coming up next after the break. Don't go anywhere. By the way, here's your number to call. 865-546-8200. We got a big Tennessee breakdown day, as well as getting you ready for the Tennessee basketball season tip-off coming up this week. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz. All All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 1026 AM, talking a little bit in the break about some of the NBA moves that happened over the weekend. We will save that for a little bit later on in the show, though, but plenty of stuff did happen. Hey, let's head over to the G3 Help Me hotlines, which you can call by dialing up the number 865-546-8200. And let's go ahead and get a call from Phil here on this Monday morning. Good morning, Phil. Hope you had a good weekend. Brother. How are you?
Well, not too bad. I'm glad you and Brandon had a good meal. It's cool.
We had a great meal, and I'll tell you what, everybody's got that feeling when you just finished a Thanksgiving meal and now you just want to sit down for hours and not move.
Yeah.
That's, you know, unfortunately, that's when we had the Tennessee game. So we all planted ourselves on the couch, couldn't move for the entire game.
Huh.
I know, if I wanted to get up, I couldn't.
I'm sure a few cuss words are probably slung out, though.
Just a couple. Just a couple.
Speaking of Bear Bryant, I actually got a phone call from him yesterday trying to tell me about Buck Pearl stuff. You know how Bear Bryant don't like Buck Pearl, so he had to call and remind me, you know.
Sounds like him.
It does kind of sound like him, doesn't it? Man, we got basketball tipping off in 2 days. 48 hours. How about that?
Yeah, I can't wait. But we got more serious problems over there. And we can sit here and blame Jeremy Pruitt for all of this, but really, it's Philip Fulmer's fault this is going on.
Isn't it interesting to see how, as the season has progressed, right? At the beginning, when some of the wheels were starting to, I don't know, maybe rumble a little bit, we were able to say, all right, let's start at the basic. Let's start on the field. We can see that the quarterback, you know, he's making some bad decisions still, turning the ball over a little bit. All right, let's see if that continues.
Then the
losing continues, and now we're saying, all right, well, now it's well past the quarterback. Now we need to look at the head coach. Why isn't the whole team prepared this whole season so far? And now, as we're closing out the season, it's kind of morphed all the way up to the top of the ladder, and now it seems like most people are kind of pointing their attention at Philip Fulmer for this season disaster.
Well, honestly, Phil Fulmer knows what a good football team looks like. I mean, can't you say something to Jeremy Pruitt and say, this guy can't play quarterback and he put somebody else in there? I mean, has he done that or do you not? Anybody know?
I mean, you don't know, but I mean, there's no way that Fulmer can be pleased with the way the team's playing, right? I mean, there's no way that he's sitting there, oh, well, I think we've showed progress and really looking forward to next year in the future. I mean, there's no way, right? Surely Fulmer can see the writing on the wall. And I mean, I don't think they're going to blow him out this week, and I still don't know if they're going to fire him at the end of the year. But I mean, I think this...
If I go 2-8?
This is the week. I mean, I think they should, but I mean, I don't know what Fulmer would do.
Well, I don't think it's Fulmer's call. I think it'd be Randy Boyd's call if this continues to go on or not.
Yeah,
something's got to be done.
I guess that's an interesting part of it because normally, if you had an athletic director that you were content with, you know, you would just pass him the coaching hire abilities, but. We don't know what that kind of hierarchy looks like right now. We don't know if these head honcho people, if they want to give, you know, Philip Fulmer the opportunity to try to maybe take another coaching hire. Maybe they just want to take it directly into their hands like you're talking about. It's once again, we're having the same conversations about coaching searches and firings and hirings and that good stuff.
Yeah, get my old stocks again, don't they?
Oh, same
amazing me.
And to think, I mean, granted, as the season's gone on, I have believed in the fact that when this coaching staff says that Garantano gives them the best chance to win because I don't think they developed anybody else, but, you know, you really do kind of just look back in hindsight and say, if we're this bad right now and if nothing ever got fixed, what would have happened if we would have made the change going into week three or going into week four? It couldn't be worse than it is now.
Exactly. Byron had another win or two anyway.
We certainly could have. But it couldn't be worse if we had just made that change. And that, to me, is, and obviously it's in hindsight when we're having a historically bad season.
Well, Chance is right. Jeremy Pruitt don't care about the fans. And all honesty, most of Most successful coaches do care about the fans. Except Nick Saban can get away with it. He don't care about Alabama fans. Nick Saban's he's so good it don't matter. But Jeremy Pruitt's not Nick Saban. Can't get away with it here.
Sure.
Like, I've even heard good coaches, like, yeah, like, you know, kind of like, maybe not, like, being apologetic, but just, like, after a bad loss, like, yeah, our fans didn't deserve this. I've heard Dabo say that.
1,000%
I have heard that. Like, that doesn't mean that you're really caring about the fans. Like I said, you can fake it till you make it. Like, you can lie to us and act like you care, but when you blatantly show us that you've checked out and we're hearing all these rumblings that there's, you know, a disconnect in the locker room, you got position groups fighting with each other. When we hear that people, the guys have checked out, the last thing you want to hear is that your coach has checked out from the way he speaking to you. And yes, he hasn't said that he's checked out. He cares about football. There's no doubt. He grew up being a coach. Like, the dude loves football more than anybody that I know. And probably anybody I'm ever gonna know. But to, like, the way it sounds is that he could care less. Keep me if you want to keep me, fire me if you want to fire me.
Yeah, and you look at the mid-state media are already saying it's over, but the Knoxville media haven't done it yet.
Well, if he were to lose this weekend, I don't know how you trot him back out here. I don't know.
Yeah, if you lose this weekend, I think that's – I don't know if you can come back from
you
that.
You can't.
I don't know if there's a coach that can come back from losing to Vanderbilt and Kentucky in the same year while also going 2-8.
If they lose this weekend, are you going to watch the last two games if they lose this weekend? I'll tell you right now, I'm not.
And let's also not forget that this is in the middle of the worst 5-game losing streak that Tennessee has ever had.
Yeah, even if they win, 3-7 would be the worst one loss Tennessee football ever, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. We hit that new low. I mean, just a couple of years ago when you went 4-8, and now you have a shortened season. We're not even going to get to 4 wins. We might not even get to 3. You know, who knows how this thing's going to go?
Mm-mm-mm. Oof.
It is. It's a mess.
Well, I'll give y'all an update later in the week. I saw B.J. Edwards and the N.J. Tombaugh Catholic and that big old big guy down at Hamilton Heights, who's a must get recruit for Tennessee. But there's a lot of good things on the horizon on round ball, but football sucks. See,
you're exactly right. Football season not good. Basketball season though on the horizon. Brandon, 2 days away.
It can't get here soon enough.
Isn't that the truth? Hey, we'll hit the break real quick. Come back on this side and then see what else we can get into today. We still got some more Tennessee football. We got a weekend recap and getting you ready for this Tennessee basketball game on Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 10:39 a.m. I don't know about you guys, but actually, I do know about you guys here in this room. I think thumbs up from everybody around. But, hey, hopefully you had a nice little weekend. In case you needed something to do during the Tennessee game, well, a lot of us were checking our FanDuel Sportsbook apps. Because in case you missed it, I don't know how you did. We told you about it on Friday all day long. The spread the love bet. It hit, Chance. It hit.
It hit.
Oh, baby, we're sweating it out. It hit. Hey, we weren't sweating it out.
Real nervous about that 116.5.
Yeah.
I think it might have even gotten to 120
That's
something.
That's the great thing about FanDuel.
Yes,
they're
sir.
They're just, you know, so generous and easiest $45 I've ever made.
Yeah, it really was.
Because I definitely went the max bet.
Oh, if you didn't go to the max bet,
yeah, I don't
what
know
were
what
you
were
doing?
Doing. What
were you? Because you were that doing. Was the most free money I've ever seen. Look, that's why you got to be on FanDuel, because they will give you those bets on the weekends that are impossible to skip out on. So while you're going out there, while you're watching the games, be sure to sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It is now legal here in the state of Tennessee. You can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, no strings attached. I'm not lying to you. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash, and if you lose, well, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. And with the FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets, well, those are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays. Brandon, what were you went with both the parlays. And did you get any of the live betting as well?
No, I missed on the live bets.
Me too.
I did get the parlay.
I took an Arkansas money line. I took a Mississippi State money line. Oh. All live betting. Look, those didn't hit, but they could have.
I told you to get out.
Raiders got me last night big.
I told you to get out down. On the Mississippi State, and you didn't listen.
You did.
I can't believe you really took the money line. You really did that?
That's it was like a dollar. It was like
yes,
a dollar.
He did.
I have to bring it up.
After one quarter, Brandon was feeling himself. He was feeling the Vols, and he put down a little bit of money on the Tennessee money line. Said, hey, what if there's a chance?
I put like a dollar on it, okay? But I had Auburn to cover 10. I had Auburn in my parlay.
And you hedged it?
So I had Auburn 10.5, Liberty plus 4.5, Rutgers plus 12.5, and Mississippi State plus, 25?
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
So I might have left out the part about that.
$2 to win 25.
There you go.
How about that?
And Liberty won this week, right?
No, they covered, but they lost by one.
15-14.
Blocked field goal.
Yeah, it was again. The blocked field goal this time. This time it didn't go in their favor. No ice, another kicker.
Yeah, that was wild. So, look, those are just a couple of examples of some of the great bets that you can get. And once you went on FanDuel Sportsbook, they will get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So, to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code BLITZ so they know we sent you. Again, that's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code BLITZ. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. So, in case you were looking at all those games from over the weekend, you might have seen some pretty decent games along the way. I don't know if you might have had any bets on them, but here's a little bit about what the college football scoreboard looked like here in week 12 of the college football season. Let's go through some of these games. Well, one of those ones that we were just talking about. Georgia, Mississippi State. Somehow the Bulldogs make that, the Dogs, one of their closest games of the year. In Athens as well, of all places.
JT Daniels started that game.
He did.
Yeah.
JT Daniels goes, 28 of 38.
Yeah, he didn't have a bad.
For 401 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad performance.
That's big numbers.
Do you think Georgia's just kind of got to the point where, I mean, they had these high expectations.
Can't make the playoffs.
And now they're...
Kind of.
But I'd like to be at that point to where, you're disappointed because you can't make the playoffs. it's one thing to be
nice,
checked
right?
out. Yeah, because you're losing every game, but...
Like, Michigan fans, they've been in that for a long time now. Yeah. They can be justified to want a new coach.
Yeah, they're
tired.
Love
Harbaugh
to be in that
spot for the next
2 years. He hasn't done anything as far as what the expectations were and the amount of money they've thrown at him. You can't be a top 5 paid coach and never beat your rival and never... even compete for the top of your division. He's getting paid top 5 money.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about it. Even LSU, Mississippi State sometimes, even sometimes these SEC schools are able to sneak past Alabama to give them a little bit of hope. Doesn't really seem like that ever happens in the Big 12 or in the Big 10. Talking about the Big 12, though, Brandon, one game that we had a big interest in, and we got...
We lost.
We lost. The over didn't hit in Bedlam, but Oklahoma is able to win that game against Oklahoma State 41-13. We were 6 points off from the over.
Tough.
I feel like a lot of our college football review from the weekend is just going to turn into how we didn't hit from our gambling bets. Which games were the most mad at? I'm so mad at this Bedlam game. So close. Would have made me some good money.
How about Florida State finding COVID?
How about Clemson being very upset about them finding COVID?
That was a clown.
I 100% agree with Dabo Sweeney.
They've been practicing with people with COVID all week.
One player that had practice, and they detected his symptoms early in the week, but he was still testing negative, and they socially distanced him from everyone else.
I bet you like
else.
Dabo, don't you? It's Bobble Belton higher than myself.
Good Christian boy.
They spent Dabo over $300K on travel just to make sure that he was socially distanced from everyone else. They kept him away from everyone in practice. They followed all the correct protocols.
I don't believe anything Dabo Swinney says.
I mean, that's just an absurd thing to lie about, especially when they have like hard evidence that they did do all those things. And then they offered to try to play Sunday, to try to play Monday, to try to do anything. And Florida State used COVID as an excuse not to to lose by five touchdowns. But I guess you would probably have enjoyed getting to watch your team lose anyway, since that's what you prefer.
People are dying, Charlie. It's not an excuse. You got to take this serious.
Clemson was not happy that that their game got canceled over the weekend. But yeah, that game gets postponed. Florida State and Clemson over the weekend. Let's see what else happens.
Clemson's trying to play them again, and Florida State says they don't know if they can do it.
Don't know, man. This COVID.
You might be busy with a bowl game to prepare for.
Hey, man, we're living in unpredictable times, and yes, dude, the virus is serious. I think that was very
smart.
They
followed every ACC protocol.
You know, sometimes you can follow a lot of protocols, and it can still creep up and get you. You can wear your mask.
Chance, you're sitting here with a very nice top five win and no top five losses to speak of right now. It's not that bad.
Not that bad.
They beat North Carolina when they were number five.
They're not ranked anymore. That's not how that works.
Well, they were ranked then.
Yeah, you can still call it a top five.
You don't get to call that a top five win.
You are insane if you think Tennessee ever beats Georgia when they're number five, and I'm not calling it a top five win for the rest of my life.
No, we're talking that up as a top
you
five
are
win.
Crazy.
Are we like a top 10 win?
You are nuts. More with the Blitz right after this. You know, in reality, I am counting down the minutes until we can talk a little Tennessee basketball here in the second hour. Again, we've only told you a couple times now, 2 days away, finally, it is just around the corner. Tennessee Charlotte coming up on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock p.m. from Thompson Bowling Arena. We got to think about a big Tennessee basketball season preview here at some point soon. Maybe a little bit of a final standings projection for the SEC, maybe something along those lines. But man, we are almost here. It's going to be a wild season, just like college football has been, with a lot of ups and downs, a lot of unknowns along the way. I'm sure we can expect the exact same thing from college basketball. But either way, it should be thrilling. I mean, guys, we got a legitimate team. Respect coming in the door from every single angle possible. National media writers, national talking heads, all over the place, giving Tennessee its credit. Now, granted, you can't do anything off of talk alone. I think this team certainly knows that. And I don't think this team is a team that, you know, is going to maybe get very full of themselves. That's never been a Rick Barnes kind of team trait. But either way, there's a lot of people talking about this team right now. But in 2 days, they're going to have the opportunity to go out on the court and actually show that all this talk has not been for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're ready. I'm not worried about any kind of what's the word I'm looking for?
Maybe not hesitation, but just maybe getting the wrong step or the wrong foot forward. Or
well, I mean, I expect them to kind of come out and I expect them to look the part. I expect them to come out and be focused, no kind of no distractions. I mean, I think this team has been ready to play for a long time, and I think they're anxious to get out there and play, and we'll see it in 2 days. But, I mean, I think this team is going to be very, very good.
I'm with you, man. I can't wait. Let's see. So, again, that game is going to be on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock p.m., and then Tennessee's going to flip over just 2 days later. You got one day in the middle there for Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then on Friday the Vols hit the court back again inside of Thompson Bowling Arena, 6:30 p.m. this time against VCU. So Charlotte and VCU will square off on Thanksgiving Day from Knoxville, and then Tennessee will follow up with that little series coming up this Friday.
I like it.
So a little mini tournament to start things off right around Thanksgiving. Not too bad.
I like it. We talked about it whenever this tournament first got announced, but I mean, you get Charlotte first, be a nice little test, nice little warm-up game, I think VCU will be a nice. I mean, I still expect to win. I'm not saying that I expect VCU to give us a run for our money or anything, but
yeah.
I mean, I think that's a nice test, get you warmed up and kind of see where you are two games into the season.
So. Not to mention, so obviously Charlotte and VCU coming up this week. 1 week from Wednesday, so only 9 days away from today, you have your game against Gonzaga and then back, and then 2 days later against Notre Dame. So these two games right here coming up this weekend, it's not any kind of, you know, hey, let's just get out there and have some fun. There's got to be legitimate progression. You got to be working hard because your third game of the season is against the top-ranked team in the country. Your fourth game of the season is against a very strong Notre Dame team. So
that Notre Dame game still has not been finalized.
Oh, it hasn't?
I mean, it's still not on the UT schedule.
It's on the Tennessee ESPN schedule, but maybe they're just getting a little bit ahead of themselves. But either way, you're going to need those two games to get you any bit warmed up for Gonzaga, so neither one of those games can be a little bit of a slouch. Neither one of those games can just kind of, in my opinion, afford to just kind of be going through the motions again. I don't expect they will, but you can't have that coming up this Wednesday and Friday as you have the number one team ranked team in the country, Gonzaga, playing Tennessee next Wednesday. Quick turnaround.
I'm not worried. This team's ready.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. This team is ready, and so are we. Although, us, for the second hour of the show today, there is so much to get into still. A little bit of college football, a little bit back to Jeremy Pruitt's comments after the Auburn game, and some NBA, some NFL, some college football talk. Man, it's going to be action-packed. So, don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz on FanRun Radio.